I don't know what anyone else's house looks like, but I would imagine that I'm not only speaking for myself. Now, I might be, but I think that it's probably very unlikely. Let me tell you what happens in my house at dinner time. So I make dinner and then I put dinner on the table. And then one kid says, "Mommy, I need water." So I pour them a glass of water. Then I sit back down. I'm like about to pick up my fork. And like my other kid is like, "Mommy, can you cut up my chicken?" Okay, great. I asked my husband, "Can you cut up their chicken so that I could start eating?" Great. My husband takes care of it. A minute later, another child is like, "Mommy, can I have ketchup?" So then I'm like, okay, fine. Put my fork back down. And mind you, I have not yet taken a bite. So I pick up the ketchup. I give them ketchup, sit back down. A second later, "Abba, can you pour me more water?" So then my father and my husband goes and pours them more water. And like this goes on and on until finally we're like, okay, no one needs anything for the next 5 minutes so Mommy and Abba can eat. Then we like quickly eat. Meanwhile, they haven't stopped with the requests. We just have stopped fulfilling them. So they're asking, and they constantly need things until finally we make it through the meal. And hopefully everyone ate something, and hopefully everyone is somewhere close to full. But we have a halachic question here. Now, obviously, my children are very little. My children are 4 and below. But from what I've heard of parents of teenagers, it's not often very different from the situation that I just described. But we know halachically that what really should be happening is you should be doing the same to your children, that your children are required to give you food and to give you to drink and to bring you what you need, not the other way around. So what we're going to discuss today is how does it work the other way? We know that you are entitled to have your children feed you and give you to drink and clothe you and serve you in any way that you need. But are your children allowed to ask you to help them? Are they allowed to ask you for the things that they really should be doing for you? So let's delve into that. And I think sometimes we pause when we hear this question and we say, okay, but we see in our reality that of course, children ask their parents for help. So I want you to keep that in the side of your mind. And as we're going through the sources, I want to try to understand why that is. Is it really halachically acceptable for your children to ask you to provide things for them? And if so, why is it so? Okay, so we're going to begin in source number 19 in the Gemara in Yerushalmi. Imo shel Rabbi Yishmael bata va'amra v'kabla alav l'rabotinu. The mother of Rabbi Yishmael came and complained before the other sages about him. Amra, she said, ga'uru b'Yishmael b'ni. Can you please rebuke my son Yishmael, she'eno noheg bi b'kavod, that he is not behaving towards me with kavod, with respect, but otosha'a. They made like disgusted faces. How could this be? Like, what is Rabbi Yishmael doing that's disrespectful to his mother? Amrin, if Charlotte Rabbi Yishmael no heg bekavod avosav, how is it possible that Rabbi Yishmael is not acting in a respectful way towards his parents? Amrula, they said to her, Mahu avilech, what did she do to you? Amra, ka nafik mi veit vada. Ana ba'a mishag zari gula b'mishtei mehen v'lo shavakbi. She said, what I want to do is, as a sign of respect, when he comes home from the Beis Medrash, I want to wash his feet and I want to drink the water. Now, this sounds pretty disgusting, but apparently that was a sign of respect, that when there was a Talmud Chacham who would come, you would wash their feet and you would drink from the water to show that you respect how much they've been toiling in Torah. Amrin, so they said, ho'il v'hu ritzona. They say, oh, of course, we knew that it couldn't be that Rabbi Yishmael was disrespecting his mother. Rather, they're saying to her, this is exactly what it means to respect you, that he can't allow you to serve him. He can't allow you to wash his feet. Even if you want to do it out of respect for him, he is not allowed to allow you to do so. So the Gemara concludes and says, no, what Rabbi Yishmael was doing was respectful, because he was not allowed to ask you, or he was not allowed to allow you to show him respect in that way. So it seems from the responses of the Chachamim that one is permitted to be honored by their parents if they so desire. But, oh wait, sorry. Okay, the conclusion of the Gemara. Sorry, I was skipping to the next Gemara. The conclusion of this Gemara states, Ho'il v'hu ritzona, hi chibuda. That Rabbi Yishmael should have been, even though he typically would have been correct, that he should not allow his mother to serve him in this way, since this was her desire, since he was not asking her to wash his feet, but she wanted to wash his feet, therefore listening to her will would be respecting her. That even though technically the action she's doing is not respectful, if she wants to do it, then allowing her to do what she wants to do is showing respect. So it seems, according to this Gemara, that if a parent wants to serve their child, then they are allowed to, then it is respectful. However, the Gemara in Kedushin seems to give us a caveat to this rule. That up until this point, the rule seems to be that a child should respect the parent. The parent cannot do demeaning acts for the child or cannot do acts that would be seen as the requirements that the child has for the parent for their child. However, if they desire to, then the child must allow them to in order to show them respect. But the Gemara Masachah Kedushin adds a caveat. Amar le Rav Yaakov bar Avuha le Abaye. Kigon ana de'ad de'itna miva'e rav, ava mideli likisa, ve'ima magzali, hichi di'avid, amar le, me'imach kibel me'avuha lo tekabel, de'kevan devar torahu, chalsha da'ate. So Rav Yaakov bar Avuha said to Abaye, with regard to one such as I, so beloved by my parents, that before I return from the Beis Medrash, both my father and my mother pour me a cup of water. So what should I do? Is it disrespectful to accept the water from them? So Abaye responded to him and said, accept it from your mother. You can take the cup of water from your mother. However, do not accept it from your father, as he is a Talmud Chacham. He will be disheartened if his son does not show him the proper level of respect. So the Gemara in Kedushin is adding something a little bit different. It's saying that in general, a child can be respected by their parents. That if it was just a father and a mother, a regular old, plain old Joe Schmo and Jane Plain, he would be able to accept the cup of water from either of them. However, the Gemara in Kedushin adds here that since his father is considered to be a Talmud Chacham, in this specific situation, we're talking about specific people, that we knew that his father was a Talmud Chacham, he may not accept the cup of water from his father, because for a Talmud Chacham to serve him would be inappropriate. That he says that the Talmud Chacham would be disheartened, that he would feel like he is serving his child. So the ruling of Abaye is brought down in Shulchan Aruch LaHalacha, in source number 21, Im ha'av rotzeh l'sharit et haben. If the father wants to serve the child, mutar lekabel mimenu, he is allowed to accept it from him, ela im kein ha'av ben Torah, unless the father is a ben Torah. So the general rule is, a child is obligated to serve the parents by giving them physically what they need. A child is allowed to accept the same actions from his parents if that's what they desire to do. However, if the father is a Talmud Chacham, he would not be able to serve his child. That even if he wanted to, even if it wasn't that the child had requested it, rather this is what the father wanted to do for the child, we still would not allow it. Now I want to pause here from the sources that we have and try to understand why is this. And I think it ties back to our very first year, in which we talked about the idea of whether Kibud Av V'Aim is a mitzvah mideoraita or whether it's a mitzvah miderabanan. And one of the proofs we possibly tried to explore was the idea of, can you be mochel on your kavod? Is a parent allowed to say that although when I walk into a room, you are supposed to stand up, you don't need to stand up for my honor? And we concluded in one of our subsequent shiurim that yes, you can do that. And based on that idea, we made a distinction that Kibud Av V'Aim is not a mitzvah that is entirely, remember we said it's somewhere between the two, that it is not a mitzvah mideoraita in its purest sense, which we would have thought based on the idea that the Sefer HaChinuch presents us with, that the point of Kibud Av V'Aim is to respect our parents in order that we should come to respect Hashem. Because we said in that situation, if the respect really belonged to Hashem, then we would not be able to be mochel on that kavod. For example, a Rebbe is not able to be mochel on a certain amount of his kavod because his kavod is not his own. Rather, it is kavod HaTorah, and you can't be mochel on someone else's kavod. So if the respect that we are showing to a rabbi is really because of kavod ha-Torah, then the rabbi can't be mocha on the kavod on the Torah's behalf. We have to show the respect to the Torah. So what we're saying here is, I believe, similar, that this is going beyond just plain kibud avaim, because kibud avaim, we said that they can be mocha on their kavod. Then ultimately, even though there is this connection to coming to respect Hashem, the core of kibud avaim is respect for the parents themselves, and therefore they would be able to be mochal on their own kavod in most situations. However, here I think we're tying back to that original idea. That we're saying that a father, a regular father, can be mochal on his kavod, but a father who is a Talmud Chacham cannot be mochal on his kavod, because then the kavod there is not only directed at him, but it is also kavod ha-Torah. So he may be able to be mochal on his own kavod, but he cannot be mochal on the Torah's kavod. So therefore, we now have the Shulchan Aruch who is bringing us this rule, that we say that in general, a parent can serve a child if they desire. However, if that parent is a Talmud Chacham, then they are no longer allowed to. Rav Nissim Karelitz in Chut Shani in source number 22 is going to give us a few different circumstances. Mistabra, it's a kolinyan shel chalisha da'ate. It is understandable that the entire issue of chalisha da'ate, that the Talmud Chacham will feel badly, that they will feel like they will be disheartened by the fact that they are serving their child. Who dafka kishah'av mechin umegish lebeno bifanav ma'achal. This is specifically when a parent prepares and serves his son food when his son is present. So when is a parent who is a Talmud Chacham going to feel badly about serving their child? If they are standing there in front of them, preparing it for them and presenting it to them. That because he is a Talmud Chacham and he looks at himself and he says, look, I'm here and I'm preparing things for my child. I'm serving my child. Like, what kind of position is this for me? Because in this situation, it will appear like he is an eved. He is a slave who is serving his master. However, if a father prepares for his child when he is not in front of him, there is no disheartening here. Because in that situation, it wouldn't appear like he is serving his child. So even a father who is a Talmud Chacham can make his child breakfast and leave it on the table for when the child comes downstairs. But we would not say that a parent who is a Talmud Chacham is able to, and again, this is when we're right at this place, we have not yet specified the age of the child, what the parent can do, but just at a basic level, a parent who is a Talmud Chacham would be able to prepare for their child when not in front of them. The only problem would be if they are in front of them, and therefore they would not be able to do it. Even if they want to be mocha on their own kavod, they cannot be. So now Rav Nissim Karelitz is getting even more specific. He's saying, what really is it talking about when it says that a Talmud Chacham cannot serve the child? It's in a situation where the child could have done it perfectly well themselves. That the child would have been able to prepare a cup of tea, but they ask their parent to do it instead. But for something that a child is not able to do on their own, and there is no one else who can do it in the same way as the father, then the parent can provide the service. The child can accept this from their parent. So if a child is not able to tie for themselves their own tefillin, however, if someone else is able to do it for them, then they should have that other person do it, and the child cannot accept this sort of help from their father. Even if a child cannot do this on their own, and there is no one else who can do it other than the father, then you would be able to accept it from your parent who is a Talmud Chacham. This is a good example. If the child wants to give themselves a haircut, but he's not able to do this on his own, then the child is able to accept this service from their parent. Mutar la ben lekabel shirut me'aviv kisharak aviv yachol lasot zo al sad hayotov hayoter tov kigon me'aviv misader protectia o mafil kisharim letzorach beno kisheina ben yachol lasot zav ofen hayoter tov kimo be'aviv. And the last condition, he says, is not only if the child cannot do it on his own and there's no one else around. So, for example, if it's a father and a son, the son is not able to give himself a haircut effectively. So the father would be able to give a haircut in that situation. But the last point that Rav Nissen Karelitz adds in, I think, is very relevant and something that often comes up in the world today. That your father has been working in business for many, many years, and he has many, many connections, and you are on the job hunt. Yes, you might be able to go to LinkedIn and you might be able to apply for a job and go through the interview process and hopefully get some sort of entry-level job. But if your father, who is like a big hotshot in the company, is able to say to his friend who works in another company, you know, my son is looking for work, my daughter is looking for a job, that's going to get you a lot better job than if you just go in on your own. So Rav Nissen Karelitz says here, if there is a situation where the father, and he really uses the word protexia, if the father's protexia, like if the father's connections are going to make a big difference in a situation for the child, then the father, even if the father is a Talmud Chacham, he is able to do this service on behalf of his child. Hold on 1 second. So up until this point, it seems like the parent was offering their services to the child, that they were willingly bringing them food, drink, servicing them in some way. However, the next question we're going to have is the situation I talked about at the dinner table. Are your children allowed to request it from you? Like in all of these situations, it seems like the father saw a need or the mother saw a need and they served that need. But is the child allowed to explicitly ask for this sort of respect from their parent? So before we answer this,
you're muted.
Yeah, thank you. Does it matter if the father is a rabbi in name only at this time, does not actually paskin or is the leader of a shul as far as having a rabbi status for honor? In other words, the father has smicha but works as something else, not a practicing rav. So the distinction that was made in the Shulchan Aruch was not that he was a rav. It uses the language of Talmud Chacham. So we're not talking about a matter of like a technical qualification here that he is someone who services a shul or has a certain rabbi status. Rather, we're talking about an actual like intellectual level, that there's someone that we would quantify as a Talmud Chacham, and we're holding that to a different standard. So I don't think it's a matter of having smicha, not having smicha, whether he's using his smicha in the classical sense at this moment, but I think it's really a matter of a certain level of accomplishment in Torah.
So and I if think that's the case, then what about a mother who's extremely learned and accomplished in Talmud Torah?
So that's why, if you notice, I keep switching it to parent. I did not research specifically whether the same would apply for a mother. But if we can understand that in the rest of Kibud Av V'Aim, it's equal between father and mother, and we make that very explicitly clear, that both father and mother receive the equal respect, then I would assume that if the mother was a Talmidah Chachama as well, then she would have to receive the same amount of respect. That the only thing that's bumping up the father is the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham. But if the mother is very learned as well, I would believe that that would bump her up as well. Like as in, it doesn't say that, but also that wasn't really a concept. So I'm imagining that just
it wasn't relevant at that time.
Right. Like I'm thinking that just based on the fact that they were equal to begin with, and the only thing that was bumping up the father was his knowledge of Torah. And now we have women that have a very high level of Torah. I would assume that that would like bump her up as well.
Although also then like the question I still have is, how do we actually quantify who's considered a Talmid Chacham or Talmid Chachama? Like, do they have to like have that their 9-to-5 day is learning Torah, or that they learn every night? Like, that's a very like vague.
Right. I don't think so. This is really just me speculating. But the idea that we talked about is that, especially when I gave that background of the connection to the idea of you can't be mochel on someone else's kavod, How I would understand it is if this is a person that seems to represent Torah, then if we're not just talking about them as an individual, we're talking about them as sort of in a role as well. So I don't think that, I think we all know those people who are most definitely Talmidei Chachamim, who do not spend their day classically engaged in what we would consider to be Klei Kodesh. But when you look at them, they most definitely exemplify a learned person and someone who is well-versed in Torah and someone who represents Torah. And I think that the moment that that happens, like we all know those people in the community that are whatever job they work 9 to 5, but they are giving shiurim or they are learning in all of their free time and they become seen as a Torah figure. I think they would definitely qualify as a Talmud Chacham. I think then we run into a situation where it's clearly not just their kavod that they're representing. They're not just representing themselves as a person, but they've crossed over that line into representing Torah.
I have a question. I'm trying to clarify this. I guess I was under the impression from what you said, like anyone who is happy. Well, I mean, anyone, let's say even, say a Rebbe in a school, he would also not be allowed to give up his kavod because that's the way you see him all the time as somebody who represents Torah. So that's definitely your definition. However, let's say someone is... Well, my son, for example, has Tamika as a rabbi, and there was a long story here, but he's, he got a job now as CEO of a company, whatever. But if he was, I guess, he does learn all the time, but I mean, if he was, I don't know how, I'm not sure. See, the way I picture somebody who was out there as a rabbi, well, not just running a shul. We know in the Orthodox world, you don't have to have a shul to be a rabbi. But let's say you're just really involved and everybody sees you that way. Then I guess, right? I mean, if everyone sees you that, see, I'm a little, because, then there's people who have smicha, but just, working totally as something else. Somebody's in the middle, they represent Torah. They represent the goodness of Torah. They are, I'm talking from my own sense. I'm wondering if we should treat him with, more respect because of that.
This is not talking about your respect to him. This is talking about his children's respect.
Right. I mean, his children should treat him even more respect.
Right.
Because he is a rav. And he does, I mean, people do know him as a rabbi too, but he's more out there at the CEO job, Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of wondering, would he ask another rabbi, say, hey, do my kids have to show more respect? Or would he, I don't know.
And then it's saying, are his children allowed to ask him for things? Like it's that direction. So I think also let's continue on and see practically how much of a difference it's going to make in the halacha. But right now, the situation that we have is that a child can receive respect from their parents. If the parent is a Talmud Chacham, they're not allowed to accept this respect. And the other condition that we have is this applies when a child would not be able to do it for themselves. That only things that they cannot take care of for themselves, their parents is allowed to provide for them. But now the question we're going to ask is, can a child ask for this respect? So if we look in the Gemara Masechet Kedushin, we look, Hinhu betray, dehavi kasha tu chamra tu te tzipi bababel. There were two people that were drinking wine under a tree in Babel. Vishakal chad mine kisa de chamra. One of them took a cup of wine and said to his friend, Yehe le lechavere, amar mikad she le britech le bari. I want my daughter to be betrothed to your son. Amar Ravina. Afilu lemanda amar chayshinan shema nitratzeha av. What happens here? Two friends are sitting under a tree and they're sipping wine, and one says to the other, I want my daughter to become engaged to your son by receiving this cup of wine. Let's use this cup of wine and we will engage them to each other. So Ravina says, even according to the people who say that a father can betroth his daughter, what about the the son of the other friends. Like, he is not allowed to betroth his son. There is only this idea that a minor daughter can be betrothed by her father. So what's happening here? What's happening in this situation? So, Amrilai Rabbanan LeRavina V'dilma Shaliach Shaveh. So they say maybe the father was appointed as the shaliach of his son. That for when it comes to betrothal, when it comes to kiddushin, you are allowed to appoint a shaliach. So maybe the father of the bride, quote unquote, was betrothing his daughter, because a father is allowed to betroth a daughter to someone else. And the father of the chassan was the shaliach of the chassan. So it's as if the chassan is accepting the betrothal on his own. But the Gemara concludes and says, it's not possible. Like, we have to explore another answer to our question of how is this situation halachically acceptable. But the point that's important for us to pull out is that the Gemara Masachah Kiddushin says that one cannot appoint their father as a shaliach for them. So the Ben Ish Chai in his Sheila B'Tshuvot in source number 24 says, Sheila, im ha-ben nitzterich la'asot shlichot Let's say a person needs to appoint a shaliach who to sell land that's in another area. Is he allowed to make his father or his rebbe a shaliach for himself? Or is there some sort of degradation? Is the father being put down by becoming a shaliach for his son? And the tshuva that the Ben Ish Chai answers is, Kol shehaben mishaveh shaliach la'aviv o l'rabo, heviktzat ziluta l'dudei. We say that when a son would appoint his rebbe or his father as a shaliach, we would not allow this, because there is a little bit of brazenness in this. V'davar ze nekra chatzifos, this is brazenness, b'lashon chachamim. V'afilu shehu osehu shaliach l'dvar mitzvah, even if you would say, oh, the son is really just choosing the father as a shaliach, as a messenger to do a mitzvah. D'hachi ita b'gemara, we still see this in the Gemara, the one that's quoting from the Gemara that we just saw, the Masechet Kiddushin, that even if it was for the sake of Kiddushin, you would not be allowed to appoint your father as a shaliach. Because what is the idea here that we are going to expand upon? That we cannot ask our parents to do something for us that would be degrading for them. That what is the original idea that we were discussing? That if a child needs something, the parent is allowed to provide it. Even if technically those are the obligations the child has towards the parent can provide them for the child in a case that the child needs. But here we're talking about where a child would specifically request a service from the parents. And we're using the example of shlichus, because shlichus, we might say, oh, we're choosing them as a shaliach for a mitzvah. We're asking them to do something that's very respectful. But even there, we're saying that there's a touch of brazenness here, that asking your parent to be your shaliach, even if it's for a bar mitzvah, even if it's for something good, that would be considered to be too brazen. That would be considered to be disrespectful. So based on this ruling, Rav Ovadia Yosef and Rav Nissim Karelitz write that a child is not permitted to request a service from their father. So the Shilos Tshuvos Yabia Omer, which is Rav Ovadia in source number 25, so even if you have asked your parent for mechila, even if they have been mochel on their kavo, that in general they do not require the same level of respect, a child is not allowed to ask their parents to bring them food or to bring them something to drink or to serve them. This would still not be allowed. Even if the parent in general has been mochel on their kavod, the child would not be allowed to ask their parents for such respect. And it's source number 26, again in the Yabia Omer, Ella im kein hu re'ev otame, the only situation in which a child could ask their parents to service them in this way is if the child is hungry or thirsty, the ein lo efsharut li tol ba'atzmo, and they don't have the ability to get it for themselves. Yodeya sha'aviv imo yismechu b'hashkachatam lo b'machal b'mashke, and you know that the parent would be totally happy with bringing you whatever it is you need to eat or to drink. As yachol kabel mehem b'shad hatzorah, then you would be able to accept it from them at a time of need. So again, my children are just the example because they're my children, so I can use them as an example, but even though they're very young. So you could say potentially the same rules would not apply. But when they ask me to serve them food, it's because they're hungry and they can't do it on their own. So they would be allowed to say to me, mommy, can you please serve me a piece of chicken? Because they're not able to get it on their own. And they know that it makes me happy when they eat, especially if by some miracle it would happen to be a vegetable. But they know that it would make me happy to be able to provide for them, that I understand that this is my privilege to be able to feed my children, and therefore they can ask me. Rav Nissim Karelitz adds in the next source, V'cha'amor b'gemara, she'im ha'ben eino mevakesh me'aviv ezehu she'ira, v'lo asahu shaliach, ela rak megaleh ha'ben et da'ato shekach ritzono la'aso, v'ha'av she'ino talmid chacham, me'atzmo na'aseh lo shaliach me'alav mutar. So Rav Nissim Karelitz adds in another situation. He says, if a child does not request anything from their parent, he doesn't make him into a shaliach. He doesn't request anything from him. Rather, the child expresses, Abba, I would love for you to be my shaliach. He doesn't ask. He doesn't request. Rather, he just states that this would be his desire. And the parent that is not a Talmud Chacham decides to take it upon himself. Mutar. So if you say to your parent, you know, I'm really hungry, and I would love your famous pancakes. But you don't ask outright. But the parent recognizes, like, oh, my child wants pancakes. I want to provide them. I'm glad to make it. You're allowed to accept respect in that situation, even though it's technically respect from your parents. Another leniency that's also quoted by Rav Nissim Karelitz is in the next source. And this one, I think, is very interesting that applies to us today. This is something that you're allowed to request even from your father who is a Talmud Chacham, that they should investigate your Shidduchim for you. That, let's say you have a father who's a Talmud Chacham, and everybody else's parents investigate their Shidduchim for him. Investigate is probably not the best word, but that's honestly what happens. But researches their Shidduchim for them. Everyone else asks their parents. But this child has a parent who's a Talmud Chacham. They don't feel like it's appropriate to ask them. The parent's going to feel badly. Everyone else's child asks their parents to do this for them. What? My child doesn't trust me? So if you think that they are going to be insulted by you asking someone else over them, then you are able to request something from your parents. So now we have some examples in the final source, in source number 29, just a few more examples that will illustrate our point here and exactly what our criteria for halacha is. Kishaviva imo holchim lachanot liknot elu dvarim, asor lebinam lomar lahem, tekanegam zivizeh. If a parent is going to a grocery store, a child cannot say, get me this and this. Asur lebinam lomar lahem, tiknim li zelazeh, dehavi kishlilucho, because then he's making him like he's a shaliach. Vezeh asur af be'av she'ino tamid chacham. This is not allowed, even with a parent who's not a tamid chacham, v'chaim be'imo, and also with his mother. Ela imkin ha'ben ino yachula, so zo ba'atzmo. Unless the child cannot do this on their own. So this is where we're starting to really see a distinction between the child's ability, age level, understandably, that at different stages, children are able to accomplish different things. And the idea is that when they are in a certain stage, that they have a certain amount of things that they can accomplish, they cannot be asking their parents to carry those things out for them. But for example, my children can't do most things on their own. So they would most definitely be allowed to ask me to do it. But your 21-year-old son, who is home from yeshiva and he's feeling lazy, so he's sitting on the couch and he says, like, Ma, please bring me a drink. Absolutely not. Like, he could get up and get it. The next situation, he says, like, what if there is a father who's not a Talmud Chacham, so we're just in a regular realm of a regular parent, and the child hints that there's something that they want them to buy for them. Zemutar. Aval b'lashon sivoy asor, you cannot command your parents anything. You cannot say, get this for me from the store. Rather, you can hint, you can say, oh, I noticed we're out of yogurts. I would really love yogurts. But to command crosses into what we think of as classical disrespect. That not only is it against the requirements of what a parent and child would be responsible to one another, it's just violating general derech eretz, that we don't command other people. And here we're saying not only don't we command other people, we most definitely do not command our parents. Aval b'lashon tziboy asor kegon she'omer tekneli tavili ta'aseli harei zeh asor. Af kesh'aviv holech l'tzarchav l'chanut, aval be'av talmid chacham asor l'kabel himino shum shirut, af im haben lo bikish mimenu me'uma. But with a father who is a talmid chacham, the child really should not receive any sort of service from him. Asor l'bakish me'aviv af she'ino talmid chacham v'chein me'imo kegon l'chavot ta'or b'chader o l'havio lo sefer. Elohim came be'ofen havniskar la'ayel. He says, you cannot ask any parent, even who is not a Talmud Chacham, to go over there, shut off the lights for you, bring you this, get you that. That is not appropriate for a child to do towards a parent. You cannot, when you're sitting down at the table, say to your parents, please bring me what's on the other end of the table. But rather you should say, is there salt on the other side of the table? And if, based on your inquiry, they decide to bring the salt on their own, you are allowed to accept it. And it appears that even if we ask in the language of a command, Shulchan v'asor. So the line here really is what we classically understand as respect. That if you are going to demand something from your parents, you are not allowed to do this. However, if you are able to say in a respectful way and you are able to lay it out that you have expressed what you need, but your parents have the choice and they are able to opt in to volunteer in this situation, then that would be something that's allowed. So let's wrap up. What are some of the distinguishing factors? We talked about whether the parent is a Talmud Chacham or not a Talmud Chacham, and therefore whether they are only being possibly mochel on their own kavod or the kavod of the Torah as well. We talked about the distinction between a child who is able to accomplish the task for themselves and who is not able to accomplish the task for themselves. And we talked about it being a specific case in which the parent can do a much better job than the child could do, or that the child is not physically able to carry it out. We also talked about a situation where the parent wants to volunteer versus when the child wants to request. And lastly, we also discussed situations in which all other parents who are not Talmidei Chachamim do this for their children. So therefore, the parent who is a Talmud Chacham would be allowed to do it for their child as well. And the child would be able to request whatever it is from the parent so that they would not feel like they are not trusted by their child. That there are certain standards of what everyone seems to do. And therefore, their child, even though their situation is slightly different, that their parents is a Talmud Chacham, they can still request the same things in certain areas from their parents. Okay, let's see in the chat. The common things children ask for from parents is babysitting their kids. Is that okay? So I think that we have to look at it sort of in the terms of the different halachic questions that we had within this unit. So the first was more technical things like that we know a child is obligated towards their parents. So that is bringing them a drink, bringing them food, bringing them clothes. These are the things that a child is required towards a parent. And we're asking about a parent giving them to a child. Babysitting is something different because that's not on that technical list of giving to eat, giving to drink. And also, I think it would maybe fall into that last category. If everyone else asks their parents to babysit their children, then your parents can be like, what? They don't trust me if they don't ask me to babysit their children. So I would say that it is okay, but most definitely should be presented in a respectful way, that it doesn't seem like we're putting down the parent, because that was our second consideration, which is not only whether it's on that list or not on that list to decide whether it's allowed or not allowed, but also, is this going to be something that's degrading? And I definitely would say that babysitting is not something that's degrading to the parents. Usually it brings them a tremendous amount of nachas. So I would think that this would be okay. Does anyone else have any other questions?
What if you have, like, for me, my parents often come to me and they stay with me for 2 to 3 weeks. So I often will ask them to, you know, can you go shopping, for whatever, this and that, and they're always happy to do it. You know, so if they're doing something like that, shopping or cooking, that's for themselves as well, does that make a difference? And also, I feel like it wasn't totally clear. It jumped from demanding to hinting. I don't know how much we hit that middle part of like the requesting part.
Right. So I think that that was sort of the solution. Like the hinting was the solution for the demanding, that it said across the board, we can't demand from our parents. But I think demanding sort of included, I think it was a jump, but I think that demanding sort of included requesting, that the idea was that one should hint, but it can hint in an explicit way. Like, I think it sort of like muddled that middle ground. And I think the distinction is in the way that it's presented, whether it's respectful or not. But I think the idea was you shouldn't ask your parents. Like, I think the idea of demanding is go get this from the store. I think the idea would be like, oh, your parents are going to the store. I noticed that we're low on this. Would you mind getting that item? That I think the idea of hinting, it didn't make it seem like it was, like it says, the idea of demanding or tsivoy is tikaneli, tavili, taaseli. You do this for me, make this for me, get this for me. But the idea of saying, I noticed that we're missing this. Would you mind picking it up if you're going either way? I think that that's fine. That I think it sort of, I think this gave two dramatic examples of one was like hinting that you're barely getting your point across. And the other was like demanding in a very disrespectful way, but just saying, oh, you're going to the store. Can I give you a list? I think today is seen to be respectful and not demanding, but I think the idea is to just keep in mind that to make sure that this, the idea of we cannot request explicitly from our parents that they should do things to serve us. But rather we should do it in a way that they have come to it on their own, that they're saying, we're going to the store. Is there anything we can get for you? And then you fill in what you need. That's not in the category of demanding. Does that make sense? Like, I think that the specific examples in the illustration were a little extreme, but I think that like within there, we were able to find that middle ground of like there. The point is that you're supposed to get them to a place where they're volunteering it and not you're requesting it. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Is there any distinction when what you need is also for their benefit?
It doesn't say that explicitly here, but I would imagine that that would be part of getting it to be on their own, out of their own volition, that they're not going just to serve you. And I think if it was specifically, you notice that your parents are staying with you and your father only likes a specific type of yogurt, and you said, I noticed we're low on the yogurt, I want to be able to have your special breakfast for you, like, would you mind picking up yogurts? I think then that's fine because it is for him and you're obligated to feed him, just he's the one going to the store. So I think practically we know how it plays out, that like there's a way of having it be respectful and then there's the kid like laying on the couch being like, mommy, get me what I need. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's the clear distinction between those two, that one comes across much more demanding and one comes across much more requesting, and even to the side of like allowing them to come to it on their own.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next week, we will not be having Shear.